BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings.
You cussed at me.
You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Jolson.
I'm Roddy Piper.
This is Hawk Calling.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
The Wrestle Talk Radio intro was as long as that UFC bout we watched last night, Spug.
Intro the fucking show.
Man,
intro the fucking show. Let's get this shit show over with, Cena. I got a job to do.
And that's your intro for the show, everyone.
Wow.
And that's how you do it.
Seriously.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got through the ordeal of watching TNA Turning Point. If you spent money on that, you're 50 bucks poorer. I'm the host with the most, the one, the only, the promoter of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. The one and only Tim Stein. Joining me tonight, special guest host from a radio show yet to be renamed, Mr. Alan, won't you tell me?
Oh, wow. It's just like 2 days in a row I've watched pay-per-view that I'm sitting there going, money could have gone to feeding the homeless. This could have gone to helping Scott Hall's rehab bill. But hey, I watched wrestling and boxing instead.
There you go. And of course, joining us from nowhere near Canton, but he is in Ohio, the one and only Spud guy. Hey, Spud.
Mm-hmm.
When are you making it to Calgary to actually beat the shit out of some of these guys?
When you gonna pay my travel?
How much is your travel? Hey, no, don't be going, Alan, that's what promoters do.
Gary, yeah, my promoters actually help the talent get somewhere.
There you go. At least that's what we do.
If I'm traveling by plane, it's almost a grand round trip.
Yeah, if you're traveling by plane, you're paying for it yourself, motherfucker.
Right. It's a 22-hour it's a 22-hour drive, nonetheless, and I'm not driving that far.
Ah, it's not that far.
Wow, that is amazing. That's an amazing drive.
There you go. So, Ellen, I think you're the only one who watched the pay-per-view tonight. What'd you think?
No, no, I did watch most of it. I just left halfway. I just left halfway through to go to Wendy's.
Oh, hey, did you get Dave's Big and Juicy?
No, I got a grilled chicken sandwich.
Oh, so you stayed away from Dave's Big and Juicy. Did you hear that our producer, Sorokin, apparently likes playing with tinfoil balls? That's his new hobby, man. He's saying it all over Facebook. He can't give me shit for saying it.
We had that conversation earlier today, sir.
It's not playing with a tinfoil ball. It's like making it's making a tinfoil ball. Get it right.
Yeah.
Are you trying for the Guinness Book of Records for the world's largest tinfoil ball?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, yes, no, he's growing a set of tinfoil balls. He's getting sick and tired of certain people from the UK calling him a girl.
Ooh.
Wow, Tim. Wow.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm sick and I don't care.
Somebody's taking out their aggression somewhere.
God damn it. So, overall impressions about Eric Young's beard, Spud. Is that epic? What? Yes.
Epic.
Go ahead.
I want that feud blow off to be a beard versus hair match.
Oh, that would be worth it. As long as the beard wins. He can't lose that. He's got to keep that freaking beard. Halfway through the match, did anybody feel like they were in some kind of warp time machine for a moment?
The elbow drop? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying.
Shades of Savage. It was good. See, that part I saw, Alan.
Yeah, I made the mistake. I went to put Abby to bed, and I came back, and all of a sudden I said, dude, Zack Ryder's on WWE? Holy crap.
Whoa, you
That's
know
awesome,
it,
broski.
Bro.
And then all of a sudden I realized it's Rob Echoes.
I said that shit first. When he first came out, I was like, wow, way to rip off Zack Ryder's color scheme. And then as that match went on, I was like, holy shit.
What, did he pull a Zack Ryder in the ring?
No.
The only thing missing was the inside out fist pump?
No, it was just kind of the whole totality of the gimmick. Like, you're not even ripping off Jersey Shore at that point. If you look at his gimmick, he is ripping off Zack Ryder. And I guess that's what WWE's good, or TNA's good at, and is ripping off, you know, WWE gimmicks.
Well, you know, my question right there is there no originality left anywhere on this planet?
There is, just not in Florida.
Apparently not.
Especially not in the Orlando area.
Mm.
Unless you're down the road at the Mouse House.
So do we get to call it TNA Uncreative?
Wait. Is the Mouse House a titty bar?
No. Walt Disney World, you boob.
I was just going to say, you're not going to find any pussy there.
I've heard of strip clubs called different, so I'm just saying. Mouse House sounds like a strip club to me.
Alrighty then.
You know your beard is over when it has its own Twitter account.
Dude, that beard should have its own Twitter account.
It does. It's Showtime EW Beard or something along those lines. I was just like, okay. His beard has a Twitter. Awesome.
I see Eric Young with that beard, and I can't help but flash back to that episode of Family Guy when that endangered bird makes a home inside Peter's beard. I'm wondering when that's going to happen on TNA.
He looks like Grizzly Redwood from ROH. I was like, wow, man.
Grizz!
I'm all for the hockey playoff beard, but we just started the damn season.
Well, that's, like I said, taking Movember a little bit too far, don't you think?
Yeah.
So, there you go. So, yeah, it was a title match, and it was Eric Young versus Robbie E. Robbie E. Beat Eric Young, and I've got a problem with that.
I don't.
I do. I basically hate the fuck out of Robbie E., so that's my problem with it.
I don't have a problem with EY dropping the belt, because I think it could set up a really good feud. I just hope it's between EY and Robbie and not fucking Ronnie and Robbie.
Well, there you go. You just basically screwed up TNA's future booking, don't you think?
I know.
You know that it's not going to be a program with EY. They're going to screw it up.
I did say on Twitter that it's going to be Ronnie's going to be the next TV champion.
Ronnie's going to be the next world champion. Come on, get it right.
Oy. So anyway, yeah. So that's the first match out of the way. Your second match was a tag title match, Mexican America with a Canadian posing as a Mexican, Sarita, versus Ink and Toxin.
Toxin, get it right?
Toxin!
Right, Christina Von Erie is her other name that she works under in Mexico and down here in Florida.
That's two name drops.
Yeah.
We had the movie reference, but that was during the pay-per-view, so does it count?
Yes. We'll save that for when we get to that match, because that was the first thing I thought of when that stuff went down.
Damn straight. 4 out of 7? Damn straight! Anyway, never mind. So Mexican America wins. What does this mean?
Absolutely freaking nothing, because who cares? I'm sorry. It's LWO/LAX. I want Homicide to come back to TNA, smack some people around, and go, this is how you do this gimmick right, people.
There you go. And, of course, you got the X title right after that with a guy I like to see working in the ring, Austin Aries.
Oh, yeah.
Double A, as you called him, versus Kid Cash. Double A. No, you can't say double A.
No, you can't say double A.
That's Arn Anderson.
Nope. That's why Austin calls himself a double.
A double. Yeah. And so Austin Aries wins the X title. Yay!
He keeps the X title, but...
Retains.
Yeah, he retains.
Yeah, so, like, he won.
Yeah, but you said he...
That was a fun match. Just...
That was the match I wanted to watch, and I wasn't able to because of everything that else that was going on in my life at that point in time.
That's why they invented replay, boss.
Yeah, but that involves fucking doing something about it. There's a girl in the chat room. Austin Aries looks like a gay-ass Dracula in that sparkle cape.
Hey.
Beats all the stuff he was doing as Austin Starr. Come on.
Yeah. Be careful, Johnny Cashmere might hear you and get ideas. That wasn't a shot. Don't, like, go all quiet or anything.
No, we just don't care.
We're not going quiet.
Yeah. So, yeah. And this is the next match. It's always a good one. It's got RVD versus Chris Daniels in it. RVD coming out the winner.
Bob Van Dam.
Yeah, where did that come from, Mr. I'm going to tweet his name is Bob?
That came from Christopher Daniels.
Daniels has been running with that.
Yeah, he's been calling him Bob Van Dam on TV for the last month.
Well, you see, I haven't been watching TNA for the last month. At least!
Pay attention, like you might
Jeffrey,
learn something.
It's like the Jeffrey Nero Hardy thing.
Jeffrey Nero Hardy. First time I heard that was on a different show on Monday nights.
Multiple times.
Yeah, I want to know how soon it is before TNA starts marketing Christopher Daniels screwdrivers.
Now, are you talking the drink or the tool?
No, put it on put an actual screwdriver up there next to the Curry Man masks and see how they sell. Pope D'Angelo De Niro glasses if you can find Pope. Granted,
is it really
the impact? But
would it really be a good idea to sell something like that in the impact zone? Seriously.
Hell yeah, why not?
I could just see the fans afterwards, you know, oh, I like that match, I hated that match. Yeah, well, screw yourself. You know,
well, they could probably sell the screwdriver. They were selling beer in that place when I was covering them.
Well, there's nothing wrong with selling beer. Fuck, I'd buy one.
And I started raining the bottles down on the ring.
No, I'd have to be drinking beer to sit through an entire Impact taping.
Do we get to talk about Goldberg next?
Or
Maroon, yes, or whatever the heck he is.
Crimsonberg.
Yeah, thank you.
Redberg. There you go. Redberg. But yeah, Crimson versus Matt Morgan. All right. The Blueprint versus somebody they're trying to push as the next big thing. Who won? As I suspected, it became
Brian Stifler won, brother.
Stifler. Stifler always wins, man.
I like that kid. He's been with TNA Wrestling going back to when they started in Orlando as he was backstage working. He was ring crew. He was part of Black Shirt Security, and he trained to be a ref. I believe it was at the Team 3D school in Kissimmee. So I'm very happy to see Brian getting involved and again matches.
Yeah, well, Crimson, they've been pushing to the moon is, you know, the, like I said, the next big thing, Mr. Undefeated, this much I know about TNA.
Yeah, Samoa Joe's over there telling you how it works when you're undefeated in the company for a while.
Did they hurt this push that they've been giving them by making this a draw? Don't you think that it would have been more, I don't know, effective, beneficial? You choose the adjective or the verb, whatever.
No,
they have him.
Sucked.
They hurt this.
To have him get the victory somehow?
No, the ending just sucked.
Well, yeah, it did. I was the first one to mention it because you were lagging so far behind.
They hurt him when they took him out of the Bound for Glory series, whether he was injured or not, and they didn't give him the championship at Bound for Glory instead of all of the muck-muck that started later on down the road.
And, of course, next up we got Mr. Anderson and Abyss versus Bully Ray and Scott Steiner. Abyss and Anderson retain. Go ahead.
Retain what?
They retain the victory. No, they retained the victory.
But you gotta shut up. Before you get to that, there's an awesome promo that happened before the match. Right, Spock?
Tell us about the promo.
Oh, God.
That was kind of funny. That promo was really good. Like, they are epic together. And I get to see Scott Steiner on Thursday.
And where will that? Where would that be, Spug?
We'll find out Tuesday night on OWW Radio when the Manchester calls in.
There you go.
The who? Manchester?
The Manchester. My trainer. Runner of MCW. Yes, the
Manchester.
Not Chasta, Shasta.
Yeah, I know. If I sound like I'm mispronouncing some words, I'm still very ill and things are blocking. Proper speaking passages, so don't fucking worry about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but those two have great chemistry, and, you know, Bubba Ray says, just stand there and flex.
That was really good. Like, it was really good. It was. I can't argue with that. Like, it was fantastic. How are you going to sit there and like downplay that promo and the absolute epicness of it?
You can't. You really can't.
I don't know how you can.
What was the line he said? Ugly fat bitch. You know, combine them all.
Oh, Billy Goat.
Yeah.
She looked like a Billy Goat.
But interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, that was the promo. If you haven't,
it always is when you put a microphone in front of Steiner.
Steiner.
I can't wait to ask him to see his positive or his negative steroids test results on Thursday.
Oh, I can't wait to for you to actually like go through with asking him that.
I'm going to because I will be a paying member of the crowd Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I will be a paying member of the crowd Thursday night, and I'm not going to wear any of my
identifying.
Yes,
stuff.
I'm not going to wear anything that can identify me as a trainee of MCW.
There you go.
And
wear a
well,
T-shirt that says it's still real to me. Damn it!
I think it's like going back to that argument from years ago. I think it's stupid that he's going to sit there and try to call out individuals when it's rather obvious, sir, that. And even tonight, he's like, look at my vein! And I just wanted to go, yeah, that's where you stick the needle.
Turning it back to the match, during the match, you have Scott, the fans cheering for Scott Steiner, and he, you know, starts cursing them out. That was pretty cool.
That was funny as hell.
Don't cheer me, I'm a heel, I'm a bad guy. Shut the fuck up, what are you doing? You're screwing shit up. I'm not Hulk Hogan. Circa 1990, whatever the fuck.
But once again, he pulled out the Frankensteiner, man.
Well, the crowd was, like, calling for it. Weren't they?
I'm still amazed he can get his butt up there to do that move with all that bulk, man.
Well, as long as he doesn't move fast, he can do it. And then, you know, he just lets gravity do the majority of the work, Alan.
Yeah, it was neat to see. Nobody really did an Eddie Guerrero tribute, but in this match, they apparently did a Road Warrior Hawk tribute.
Well, there were, you know, tonight we did see a couple of things referring to Eddie Guerrero, and one guy did one thing, and the crowd booed.
That would be a double. He did he did the Eddie Shimmer on the thing, and was like, okay, Mark, sit down and shut up.
That's why I hate the TNA crowd. Like, they are a bunch of stupid marks at points. They really are.
I honestly think that when I was covering them in person that they wanted to be your ECW arena crowd. That they were relevant, that you had the guy with the hat and the guy, other guy sitting next to him on the hard cam side. I think at one point that's what they were really trying to do. You'd have the little Hardy kids dressed up and people doing that. And I'm just like, you're freaking TV studio audience. The only thing that's missing here is the applause and boo signs. But Borash and Jimmy Hart come out before the show and do that for you.
What a fun.
So it's just, it's rather sad that, like, they're going to sit there and boo, you know, somebody paying tribute to an obviously great wrestler.
Somebody that everybody is wishing was still with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part is, 5 years ago, I was at TNA Genesis. That was the TNA pay-per-view that was held 5 years ago tonight that Christian Cage debuted on, and all of that stuff went down that whole weekday at Sunday. And I was just sitting there earlier today typing that out on the OWW Radio Facebook page going, holy crap, that was like, felt like it was yesterday.
But,
life hates you.
Yeah, there you go. Life just absolutely detests you. That's what the problem is.
Just saying.
Okay. Next match is the knockout title, Velvet Sky versus Gail Kim, new champion. Gail Kim.
Hooray.
She's the best women's wrestler in the world today. She has been for a couple of years. Just ask her.
Yeah. And Kim Kardashian's ass is real.
Well, of course it's real. I mean,
so is the marriage, bro.
Silicone is real. I mean, it's an actual thing.
It doesn't make her ass any more real. My wife's ass is huge, and it's real.
Okay, wait a minute. You just said that your wife has a huge ass.
She does.
So she doesn't ask you how she looks in the new jeans she buys? Because she knows what you're going to say?
No. She'll tell you she has a huge ass. Mm-hmm. Those are her words, not mine.
So you never hear the question, does my butt look big in these?
No.
You're lucky.
I hear a Mrs. Spug cameo coming at some point on this program.
No, she's upstairs.
Not listening and not paying attention to what Spug's doing.
She'll tell you she has a huge ass,
yeah,
too.
I do appreciate TNA keeping the tradition of, if you worked in WWE and you show up in our programming, you're going to get a title shot real damn quick, and you're going to win it really quick, too.
She has both knockout titles now.
Yep. Going to have to end Karen. I'm surprised Karen Jarrett didn't jump in the ring and run around with the title like Russo did the night Styles won it back in the national days. I was expecting Karen Jarrett to grab the belt and go, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine.
Good Christ, I wish Karen Jarrett would not talk on a microphone.
The Wicked Witch of the Mid-South, brother. Good Lord.
Oh, my God.
I wish that her and Jeff would find a way to commit suicide like Hitler and Eva Braun.
Oh, Eva Braun did commit suicide. She was actually technically murdered by Hitler before he shot his head off.
Don't care. I didn't need the technicality. You could have just left the crude joke alone. Thank you for ruining the moment.
Welcome to the History Channel with your host, Tim Stein.
I had to ruin the crude joke. He was talking about Nazis. I hate those guys.
I hate Nazis, too. That's why I'm kind of hoping Karen Jarrett, Jeff Jarrett figure out a way to follow him.
So yeah, you're
the worst
you're
part
equating
of this championship,
them.
And we've talked.
Go ahead, Alan.
We've talked about this on OWW Radio with Spug and I, and Kevin Scott brought it up. this Knockouts Championship as it stands right now means jack crap. Because you've had people hold the belt for a month and, hey, now it goes to Mickie James. Oh, wait, winner. Oh, wait, back to Mickie James. Oh, wait, winter. Oh, wait, now it's Velvet Sky. Oh, wait, now it's Gail Kim. I gotta literally get a schematic to figure out who the hell the damn champ is.
Hold on a second. The Knockouts title is the only title in TNA that doesn't mean anything anymore? Are you kidding me? There's no title in TNA.
The world title has...
No. No, it doesn't. No. After that bullshit they pulled with Bobby Roode and James Storm, that title means nothing. Because if you go back to March when that shit happened with Jeff Hardy, every month it switched hands. That title means nothing. The only title that might actually still mean something in... The two titles that still might actually mean something in TNA are your tag titles and your X Division title. That's it.
And you can thank A Double for, you know, making that title kind of relevant again. The X Division title, that is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The next matchup on the show happened three times?
Oh, God.
If you blink, you missed it the first time. Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett. What the hell, Alan? What the hell?
Almost the 10 seconds. What the crap, man? I heard the three count and look at the screen. I'm going, wait, what the hell just happened? Because he came out with the Optimus Prime looking mask and I'm like, oh crap, he screwed up again. He's drugged out again. No, wait, I bet you he baited hard. Whoa, look at that. And that's where my movie reference, the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, showed up. Because it was like, okay, the first fall, cool. And the second fall, great. And I was like, 3 out of 5. All right, cool. And it happened again. And I figured death, Bill's looking at death going 4 out of 7. He goes, damn right. And New England scored again. Crap.
Yeah, they did.
Put me out of my misery. Thanks. Thanks, Coach Rex.
I feel your pain, Alan. I really do.
Go Eagles.
Hey, listen. Hold on. At least your teams can score an offensive touchdown. Not just in the first quarter, but in the entire game.
The Eagles can't score in the fourth quarter.
No. You guys can score offensive touchdowns, though.
Can we say our three teams suck right now?
I'm going to have a field goal kicker with a broken foot by week 12. Phil Dawson should get MVP. I'm just saying. Anyway, because without him, every team that plays the Browns is pitching a shutout. Because no one on our team can seem to score. Other than Phil Dawson.
The worst part of this whole Jeff Jarrett, Jeff Hardy match was I didn't like this match when I had to sit through it twice in 2004 when they did it in the last Nashville-based pay-per-view. And I didn't like it at Victory Road 2004, and I didn't like it tonight either.
What didn't you like about it?
I've just never liked this match up between these two. Even now with this whole thing, because you're taking the TNA storylines from years ago, and people like me, people like Mace, who are going to remember it, Jeff Jarrett's going around saying, oh, I brought you to TNA. No, Dusty Rhodes on the storyline of TNA back in the Nashville days courted Jeff Hardy and had him in the storylines. Not you, Triple J, just like your dad helped co-found this company, but you magically seem to forget that, don't you, Jeff?
Send all hate mail to Alan, to radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. For that comment, especially you, Jeff Jarrett.
Or my name is wojcik@gmail.com. I got a second address in case the first one dies at some point by accident.
Or you can tweet him at my name is Wojcik.
If the 1.21 gigawatts hit.
So, yeah, Jeff Hardy wins. Jeff Hardy gets beat up. And Jeff Hardy wins again.
I kept waiting, as I said in my social networking at one point, I was like, what's match four, him versus Karen? God.
I don't think it's the last time we'll see these two fight.
They're going to get Hardy's real-life love interest, Beth, into these matches at some point. I see it coming.
Oh, good Lord, I hope that doesn't happen.
Get that freaky mailbox. Oh, did that disappear when his house, unfortunately, was burned. And I mean, I'm not joking around about something horrible that happened to him. I found that mailbox to be very unique.
He blew up his meth lab.
I was waiting for that.
Pulling punches.
I know. That's why I was waiting for you to say it.
He blew up his... I mean, it's okay. It happens. You leave the furnace on a little bit too long. You screw up the mixture. It happens.
Now, he did look good in the ring, though. I will give him credit. He looked way better in the ring than his brother looked in his entire TNA run.
So, yeah, Jeff Hardy wins, if anyone couldn't figure it out. And then we had our main event.
He just won again in the parking lot of Universe.
Yeah. Then we had our main event, the world title match. Bobby Roode and AJ Styles. We saw a picture of his ankle.
And God, that picture of that ankle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, that was pretty bad, and he worked on that. That's
you said that was a grade 2 sprain?
Something like that, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, that was pretty nasty. If you didn't look at it, just Google AJ Styles' ankle, and you'll see a picture of a barely bruised AJ Styles' ankle. Beyond that, what did you think of the match?
I loved it. I hated the storyline that was behind it, but I thought their chemistry was really good. It was, as I said in my tweets and the other stuff, it was really amazing to see no Hogan, no Flair, no Bischoff, no Sting, no Lex Luger, nobody from WCW 1997 involved in this match. I was fine the way it ended, but I kept waiting, and I'm looking at the clock going, here comes Sting at some point, Bischoff's kid's gonna get in here, oh, wait a minute, there, holy crap. It was really just the two of that. I almost waited for Dixie Carter to jump the rail and go, now this is how it's supposed to be, yay!
Spug, did you see the match?
The last half.
What do you think, how it finished?
I thought the finish sucked. I mean, I like that Bobby Roode went over, because I kind of assumed that AJ was going to get the title put on him, and I was glad that nobody showed up other than those that were involved in the effing match.
It's the first time in about 18 months.
Which is a traditional TNA staple.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And I made the joke of tweeting it around. Yes, I said tweeting. I made the joke of, okay, Velvet, 4-year journey, 1-month reign. Bobby Roode, 13-year journey, 2 title matches reign. Unfortunately, I was not. So, yay, Robert Roode, Bobby Roode, whatever you want to be called.
He could still lose it on Thursday.
Oh, I'm sure Russo, Pritchard, Lagana, and any other name you want to make to sound like a law firm are sitting there going, how can we screw this up anymore before we get the final resolution?
Well, they'll find a way. But that was your pay-per-view. Bobby Roode retains the heavyweight championship of the world at Turning Point. If you follow us on Twitter, it's my name is Wojcik, and at Wild Talk Radio, you saw our comments as the night went on. And that was a recap. And this is where we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll cover the WWE Survivor Series and the WWE Network possible show ideas. This is WTR Sunday Night.
Watch your money in your alcohol. 'Cause when the tide rolls out and the ships go down, you know you're gonna take a fall. He's from the country, he's from the city. You better step aside, you better run and hide when the dirt and road and blacktop collide. Watch your money.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to make the order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Honey vegetable.
Vegetable.
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
chicken
fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest names stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal.
This is Rick, the model of Martel.
This is the king of old school, Petrino.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19, you big fat sucker!
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein. The inventor of the light bulb. The creator of the internet. A professional grass waterer. And, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Hello out there, this is the very boring Jay Lethal, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Tomorrow night, Raw gets rocked, and right now, WTR gets Sir Rockin'. This is WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Apparently, I'm now hosting this show for now. Apparently, somehow, I don't know how. It ain't my show. It ain't ish. It ain't midnight yet.
You got it by default right now.
I got the show by default, apparently. And I'm not even in the goddamn intro. Every week I say this. I'm hosting this show every single week, and I'm not even in the intro. I don't know why.
God of the internet, fix it, man.
That's called making new things, and I don't like doing that. As you can tell, Mace is still in the goddamn intro, and he hasn't been here. Well, he's not here often enough. He was on CB Radio last night. Check out the archive at wildtalkradio.com.
He was around after I forced him to watch a couple rounds of Marquez Pacquiao, and he was cursing at me.
Yeah, he
so
was.
So were you.
I know. Oh, my God. We'll get into that in a little bit when Spud gets back. We'll talk about the UFC one-minute battle. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But as I mentioned, tomorrow night, The Rock returned for 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. Excited, Alan?
And he'll be there for 30 seconds.
Mick Foley showing up, you think?
Why not?
And if Mick Foley shows up, what would you do with him? Would you have him involved?
He's got to be the commit.
Continue.
He's got to be the anonymous GM. And what else are you going to do with him? Unless you do another Rock, this is your life type thing. Or maybe he's the peacekeeper between Cena and The Rock. I don't know. I'm still trying to get why this is 3 hours. You don't need 3 hours to do all this.
You know, it's USA Network says, hey, WWE, we need 3 hours. It's not WWE's call. It's USA Network.
USA's like, they're sitting there, execs are sitting there, Brad Bernstein and all of them are going, hey, Rock can't come walking through that curtain until 10:58, baby.
It's called, it's sweeps month. We need an hour of ratings time. So do it. Deliver us another hour. That's how it works. It's their call, it's not WWE's call.
And NCIS isn't pulling it anymore, so then we get WWE.
And in December we have another one for the Slammy Awards. Apparently they're trying to pull out a big celebrity name to come in for that show.
Oh, goody.
I mean, it can't be as bad as David Arquette or Dennis Miller. Can it?
Shatner's not busy. Get him back here.
So yeah.
Get Jeremy Piven. He was one of the worst guest hosts, and I love him as an actor.
Summerfest. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get into this, because I don't know where the fuck they went. Anyway, we have we'll start from the traditional Survivor Series matchup, Team Orton, which is Orton, Sheamus, Mason Ryan, Kofi Kingston, and Sin Cara, versus Team Barrett, Christian, Rhodes, Swagger, and Hunico. It just shows Christian's no longer the top heel, that it's now Team Barrett.
I don't freaking know. I'm surprised that it wasn't Cody Rhodes, because isn't he the one that's been having the feud with Orton this whole time?
He was until he got, until Randy Orton returned the favor and brown bagged him on SmackDown a couple weeks ago.
Which is sitting in my DVR this past one, because I suddenly went going like, wait a minute, Hunico's got a LWO looking gang? I must see this.
Mexican America. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's LAX minus...
minus the talent. That's pretty much what it is. In this case, the baby faces go over?
This is one of those I could care less. I'm happy that there's at least one traditional Survivor Series match. I talked about this with Spug, who's still got a heart on, that this should be in damn Ohio, because it's where the first one was. I'm like, okay, are you going to do it in the ashes of the Richfield Coliseum that doesn't exist?
He just wants some sort of wrestling to come to his area so he can go.
He's had Raw and SmackDown in the last year, hasn't he?
Yeah, he went to SmackDown.
Yeah.
When it was in the area. So, but in my opinion, I think the babyfaces need to go over just because it's what they do. And apparently there's another rumored one.
Sure, why not?
There's another rumored one with the Divas, apparently, they're talking about.
What, a Survivor Series style match?
Yeah, with the Divas, yeah. Which just seems to be tradition.
Why not?
What do you think about it, Spock? Do you think that the babyface go over in the Orton Barrett showdown?
No.
Oh.
No.
So who do you have?
I think you've done enough to destroy Barrett's credibility over the last year or so, as far as what you built him up as with Nexus and then the core. Now you've separated him from that. So I think now you need to do a job again of building him back up and making him into a credible heel. And by beating... And you know what? I won't even say that he has to be there at the end. But I do think he should be the one to put out Randy Orton. Even if you have Orton's team win, which, in my opinion, I think Barrett's team should. Mm-hmm. But even if you have Orton's team win, I think Barrett should be the one to put out Randy Orton. Because you
is that a match you want to see extend out to Rumble, Survivor, even Mania?
I don't know if you could take that to Mania, but I think it would be an interesting enough feud. Because I think Barrett, where Barrett lacks in ring psychology, he more than makes up for on the microphone. And where Randy Orton lacks on the microphone, Barrett more than makes up for.
Hmm.
So I mean, and I'm not saying that Orton is necessarily horrible on the mic, but we can all agree that he's not one of the best promo people and interviewers that you can have.
It's almost like watching Bret Hart back in the Hart Foundation days, where Jim Neidhart carried everything.
I wouldn't go that far. Orton can carry his own, but my point is that Barrett has two things working for him. He just sort of, one, has a natural ability and charisma when on the microphone, and two, he has that accent. So if you're in America and you have that specific British dialect that he has, because there are many different British accents, but that specific dialect that he has, it instantly makes him a heel. Instantly.
And you combine that with his size, he has the package to be a top heel.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
See, I finished. I helped you along with that point. So, yeah, I agree with you that Barrett should take out Orton, but knowing WWE, Orton will get, like, talent allocate with Barrett.
Even that works. Even that works.
Yeah.
Even if they... outside and they both get eliminated, it sends the subconscious message to the wrestling fan that, oh, this is somebody Orton can't ignore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
They battled on SmackDown this past week. I can't remember who won because I didn't see the finish, but I know they had it was a solid matchup from what I saw. So, take that what's for its worth. We then move on to the other SmackDown match, the World Heavyweight title, Mark Henry against The Big Show.
I think Henry's title reign is over.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think that Big Show is gonna win the title.
Hmm.
I can't help it, but I do. I have no evidence to back that up. None. I
it's,
do.
It's just gut feeling.
Yeah.
It's just your gut telling you.
Yeah. You know where real men make their decisions? In their gut.
Yeah. And to go back, Barrett beat Orton by punching Orton in the eye and then rolled him up for the victory. On SmackDown.
There you go.
What kind of a bitch move is that to punch a guy in the eye?
A British heel.
Hey, sometimes Big Show with that right hand misses and he gets you in the eye instead of the side of the head.
Yeah. But
Big Show always misses with that right hand. Always.
It's gonna be somewhere in this vicinity, brother.
Hey, he's not Hogan. Quit saying brother.
So,
no, I was just thinking of like Stan Hansen being blind and sticking in, telling people if I hit the lariat, just I go for the lariat, my arm just hit my arm. I don't know where my arm's going to go.
So what's your prediction on this one, Alan? You agree with Spugler?
The ring wins again. I don't care. I didn't want to see this match last month. I really don't want to see it this month.
I'm kind of with Spug on this one. I think
so. When you have Big Show win and then Kane comes back and they end up having a fight for the belt.
I see Big Show winning this month and then getting Hedner gets it back at TLC, maybe.
If you put Big Show and Henry in a TLC match, you better make sure that is the last match, because one, you're going to need two cards. Two, you're going to need a double reinforced ring.
Just think of them doing a ladder match. Oh my god.
They're going to have to pull out those, do you remember that stupid double reinforced ladder that they did?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically designed to hold the Big Show.
I have a feeling if they do another rematch, it'll probably be a tables match. That's, you know.
Or I'd honestly, because MCW's about to do this, and I quite honestly would like to see a old school style feud blow off in one of those matches where the participants aren't going anywhere, like a strap match or a dog collar match or something along those lines. Because, you know,
it's going to be one hell of a strong dog collar for these two.
Or you do, you know, you do the old ambulance match or the stretcher match. I'd love to see those two do something like that.
And for them, it would be the forklift match.
That's fine.
Right.
But oh, God.
That's
sponsored
fine.
By Subway.
But yeah, I see what you mean. An old school final showdown. I
think that's the only way. I think WWE, quite honestly, has gotten away from feud blow-offs, and I think you still need those.
Because now they book to a gimmick instead of having, you know, they already have a gimmick book. They have to book, you know, around it instead of building to it.
Yeah.
Because with the Hell in a Cell, they just have the pay-per-view there. They're not building to the cell. It's just there.
Well, yeah, it's...
Because think about it. This year, you didn't need the cell for either of the two matches. There was no build to it using the cell. It was just...
Well, they didn't really use the cell anyway.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They're
yeah, no, enough time.
Yeah,
they booked it. No, they did. They did all right. The thing I would say, though, is that I've been to a few shows recently that were either MCW or not MCW that were legitimate shows that there has been blood at, and the shows have been entirely PG. I think you really need to lift this restriction of absolutely no blood, because in certain situations, it calls for it. And I think things like the Hell in a Cell, the Elimination Chamber, really do call for it.
And that's where, when you're a company that's PG, you put at the start of the show a warning that, you know, that's how you get away with it. If you throw up a warning that, you know, there could be this, there could be that.
I think...
That's a way for them to cover their ass, in a way.
I think it's a way... Yeah, it is a way for them to cover their ass, but here's the thing. They have that deal with Mattel, right?
Yeah.
Mattel freaked out when Danielson choked that guy with the tie.
Justin Roberts.
Right. Mattel was also the one that really... Little known fact, Mattel was also the one that really came down on him about the blood, too.
Yeah, because they're all Barbie and Ken, and...
Right.
They're anti-blood.
They were the one that, although they're getting ready to release a tattoo Barbie.
Oh, good God.
Why not?
Not joking.
Oh, good God.
So, I mean, the Survivor Series, I haven't seen the full card.
Well,
I'm sure there'll be a match or two added to it this week.
Well, I'll mention them. We still have a couple to get through, and I'll mention what's also rumored as well.
Alright.
We're getting through it. We're slowly getting through it. So,
I just said I haven't seen the full card.
Well, it's not fully announced.
Okay.
But I've seen the rumors. One of the rumored matches is either Zack Ryder versus Dolph Ziggler, or a triple threat match with John Morrison, Ziggler, and Ryder for the U.S. title.
If you're WWE and you're smart, you put that title on Ziggler. Or not on Ziggler, but
Ryder.
On Ryder.
You open the show with that victory.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think you could do that match number two. You could put the Divas on number one. Or you could start it with the Randy Orton versus Barrett team versus team match.
I would put the Ziggler Ryder combination on first, get the pop.
Open up hot
with the pop in Madison Square Garden.
How are you not going to open up hot with one of your top stars?
Oh, I understand you'll open up hot. I'm saying the pop with the victory, because you have that's what I mean. The victory will lead to a bigger pop and get them going. Then you do the Survivor Series tag, because that's going to drag a while. You give these guys 15 minutes to open the show, and that's the opening pop of the night. At least that's just my way of looking at it. We all have
I wouldn't mind seeing the title match to open the show. I think it would be a great idea.
No, I can understand your guys' points. I really can. But my looking at it from a promoter's perspective, mm-hmm. You know, who's on Team Orton? It's Orton,
Sheamus, Mason Ryan, Kingston, and Sin Cara.
Okay, and then it's Hunico, Barrett, Christian, and who else?
Swagger.
And Swagger.
Rhodes and Swagger.
Rhodes and Swagger?
Yeah. Barrett, yep. Christian, Rhodes, Swagger, Hunico, yeah.
Okay. Honestly, if you look at the names on both of those teams, yes, I know they're mid-level to main event stars, but for the general fan, mm-hmm. and not necessarily the smart mark or the mark who knows who Ryder is and knows that, you know, it's Ryder's hometown, I would open up with that, because you're going to get a much more generalized pop for those stars, and then you can go right into the triple threat championship. It's just like if you watch big time feuds, they always have the heel come out first, because then your baby face gets more shine.
So we've gotten through those two, three matches. Next one we'll go through. We'll do this one now, and then we'll get to the other one, because this one I know you guys have no real opinion on. John Cena and The Rock take on The Miz and R-Truth.
Yippee.
I think John Cena and The Rock are going to lose.
That would make the most sense.
It really does, honestly. It really does. What makes the most sense in that match is to have John Cena and The Rock lose, because they can't coexist.
And you have John Cena turn on The Rock.
If you're going to turn him heel, I don't see how you can't. That's my thing. Like, he's automatically going to get heel heat. I mean, he does now. But he's facing The Rock.
He's really going to get it.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it is, he gets it anywhere. They have to edit in cheers and crowd noise for him. But my point here is that if you're going to have him face off against The Rock leading into WrestleMania, look at what happened to The Rock just before and at WrestleMania. The Die Rocky Die chant started again. The the We Hate You Rocks, you know, all that started again simply because he was taking on Hogan in Toronto. Cena, probably one of the biggest stars in this generation of wrestling, and he's going into Miami, Rock's hometown. You have to turn him heel. Have to.
So you play the Cena's character as jealous of Dwayne Johnson's success?
No.
I wish my movies made as much money as yours.
No.
Okay.
You don't even have to do that. That's overly complicating things. What success does John Cena have to be jealous of? Honestly.
As he's been saying when he does promos, he did another one, when they were in the United Kingdom, about how he's the Rock's the Hollywood star and how he likes being in, you know, being in the ring, not in Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. He's not jealous of the Rock. But the point of, John Cena turning on the Rock, basically, John Cena, you know, set this up. He picked the Rock. This is him, you know, getting the one up on the Rock in his own way. He got him in the match and now he can screw the Rock.
I think if you do it right, you have Miz and Truth go over clean, and then you have Rock walk into an AA.
And that's
or an if when it's all said and done. You have Rock and Cena arguing with each other. Cena turns around, Rock spins him around like he's gonna give him the Rock Bottom and go right into an FU.
And that's
boom.
That's fade to black.
Instant heat. Yeah, and then fade to black. Instant heat.
That kind of works. Sure.
Like I said on Tuesday, I booked this shit blind, folks.
And you can hear more of the predictions on Tuesday night on OWW Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. On wildtalkradio.com.
Can we talk about the champ now?
We're getting to the champ right now. It's the
champ.
Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk for the heavyweight, no, not heavyweight, the WWE Championship. Go for it, Alan.
That's the WWE Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, it is the WWE Heavyweight Championship, but yeah. Go for it, guys.
I want Del Rio to keep this belt. I think the neutered CM Punk is not cutting it, and they need to go back to the Summer of Punk type character. And I loved the fact in Liverpool, we talked about this Tuesday night, I love that Ricardo and Alberto got cheered. It's like, oh, cool, he's loved everywhere but the U.S. That's awesome. He needs some legs. Let him have the belt for a little while longer. If you're going to do the change, do it at TLC, do it at Rumble, but at least let Del Rio get through another pay-per-view as your champ.
Nash
interferes in this one, too, since Nash has no opponent, because Triple H is crippled again, unfortunately, storyline-wise.
No, Nash won't be getting involved in this one.
Damn.
No. I think, honestly, you have Del Rio go over, and you could even take it, because if you're going to take it to a TLC next month, guess what? That lends plenty of availability for someone to get involved and screw over Punk there. And then you could have him drop it at the Rumble. Because I truly think WWE is going to set this up one of two ways for Mania. It's going to be Danielson versus Punk at Mania. They're going to find a way to make it Punk and Cena at Mania again.
Punk and Cena?
Mm-hmm. You watch. They'll find a way.
Are you
going to
do that with Punk and The Rock?
Or not Punk and Cena. Punk and, Punk
Triple?
And Triple H. Yeah.
Okay, I feel like Punk and... Yeah, okay.
Is anybody sitting there going, dear God, don't let this be Punk versus Johnny Ace at some point?
You have to give me a second, Rock. My brain synapses aren't working.
It's all good.
I'm dealing with a little bit of Percocet.
I just keep having this vision of a dynamic dude in a skateboard being involved at some point. I don't know why.
And I can tell you when. Because you know, there's talk of, you know, putting the belt back on Punk by the time they get to his hometown again. Or, why don't you do December 26th, CM Punk versus Johnny Ace in his home, in Chicago?
Is that TLC?
No, that's the night after. That's the night after Christmas. Monday Night Raw in Chicago, live.
I think when's TLC in December? Is that second week?
I guess 13th, maybe.
I think it's the week after the TNA pay per view.
When is the TNA pay per view?
TNA is December 11th.
And then I guess then they're the 18th. So there you go.
You know what? I do like, though, that this Survivor Series is closer to Thanksgiving this year. Because mm-hmm. I remember when Survivor Series was on Thanksgiving.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
You ate dinner, you sat down, you watched wrestling.
Yep.
Like, that was what we did at my dad's house. Dinner was at 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then pay-per-view came on at 7 or 7:30, something like that.
7 o'clock?
Yeah.
Pre-show at 6:30?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I remember when you were actually able to watch wrestling on Christmas night, because that was when Starrcade used to be Thanksgiving, and then the World Class used to do the Star Wars stuff back in the day on Christmas. Dusty Rhodes has always said Thanksgiving and Christmas were the biggest days in wrestling. Not anymore.
Well, I can... Alright. I'm going to defend WWE...
And I understand. Everything's evolved.
I'm going to defend WWE on their policy of the, you know, moving the pay-per-view off of Thanksgiving and giving their guys some holidays off. Like, I like the shortened schedule that they do, because you do need some time off.
Yeah.
But like... I don't think it would work anymore to do events on Thanksgiving or on Christmas.
Right. In this day and age,
So.
So yeah, that's your Survivor Series card.
Oh, 3 gigabytes left and my game will be downloaded.
Sweet. What game?
DC Universe Online.
Nice.
I was playing it at a buddy's house this weekend. It looks pretty fucking sick. So
yeah, that's...
Really? 15 minutes? We've only been on for like an hour and a half.
You want to go? Want to go 2 hours? We'll go 2 hours.
I do. Right. I do. We're having good discussion.
I don't know how long can Alan stay, because you know that's the problem. How long can Alan?
You and I can finish.
I can stay.
Alan can stay. Cool. We'll stay.
I can stay.
Because he's off Monday.
Stay.
All right.
Yep, my schedule switched at the job.
Okay. Anyway, for those.
And I will probably be off tomorrow, because there's 50 mile an hour sustained winds blowing through my city right now. And it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow.
God.
And that doesn't sound like fun to be in. Anyway,
it's been windy all day.
We're gonna dive into a little bit of the WWE Network talk. Did you guys see the list of the new possible shows that are gonna be put out by the WWE Network?
I had to ask you, I was like, please tell me some of these. I thought we were going to play the game of, okay, this one's real, this one's fake.
these
are all real? Are you serious?
This is what everyone, they want people to vote on, of what people, you know, want to vote on and try to do.
Are they going to bring over, like, shows from the WWE On Demand right now that they have, like,
The Monday Night Show, that whole thing, yeah. The Monday Night War Show, they're probably gonna bring over the, Legends Roundtable and
Legends
stuff like
that. Wrestling thing?
Yeah, the Legends Wrestling thing. But some of the shows they have in mind on this one include Steve Austin going from, you know, and his counterpart, a refined beer expert, visit a different brewery, pub, beer fest competition. So you basically follow Steve Austin as he goes to different places and drinks beer.
Uh-huh.
You have join Mick Foley as he goes to all the amusement parks, rides roller coasters in the United States. You have one of them where they go follow the WWE road crews and show you what it takes to put together the show, put up the ring, etc.
Okay. The one about the diehard fans living up, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
The one that is the opposite of Biggest Losers, that would be cool. I would like to see them bring over the one show from WWE 24/7 that was the Legends of the Ring series. The round table that they had with Foley.
Yeah, the Legends. The Legends round table. Yeah.
I'd like to see them definitely come over.
I'd like to see them bring that over.
You also. Keep going.
I think there's some original programming that you can put on there. Mm-hmm.
Some of these are just I'm sitting there going, "Are you serious?"
Yeah, some of them are no. I think the idea of eventually you're going to end up putting your Raw and your SmackDown on that network, is that not the case?
No, that's not going to happen. Not live anyway. Mm-mm. They might show replays of it, but the live show will not be on a.
I think you should talk to Time Warner and or the cable companies and see what it would take to get on their generic general package.
That's what the general package?
Yeah, that everybody gets, because everybody has basic cable.
Mm-hmm.
So, see what, and put it on there, and you can put your Raw and your SmackDown on there.
No, they won't do it, because they'll lose tons of money.
Yeah, those deals with USA Network and the deal Universal's too damn good.
Eventually, you put it on there. You would have to.
No, you won't.
Some of these little things are neat, like this one that they have here, this 10-part series and the careers of oddest WWE characters. That's not bad.
The classic matches from the libraries of the NWA, that's 24/7. That's WWE 24/7 anyway.
That's pop-up.
Do they do a pop-up video-like thing with matches?
Apparently.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, it's pop-up video with WWE wrestling. That's not bad. How about Divas on a Bus?
Because I know from my dad living in New York that the Divas on the Bus thing, that's... But is it going to be a work or a shoot? That's the question.
I have no idea.
Because if it's a shoot, then yeah, cool. If it's work, I already got that on Raw and SmackDown, man.
I think the one... what was it? The Foley one about the...
Amusement park.
No, the one about the moments.
Oh, the Oh My God moments that Joey started.
Yeah,
moments. You just,
I think that would be okay.
You just did it as a DVD. You want to sit through it as a TV show?
But I think they can do stuff that... But they're not doing, top 50, They can do other moments that weren't on the DVD that were just as pivotal.
And they can actually show the full thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually...
Do you see that at some point them taking some of these DVD docs that they've been putting out that are an hour and a half, 2 hours, pump some commercials in it, and then it's stretched out to 2 hours? Because there's a ton of them out there.
Well, there's a ton of stuff that they can do. I mean, with your own network, your programming options are essentially limitless, especially with the archival footage that they have from so many promotions across the world and their own. They have, as much as their movies suck, they do have original content with their movies they can put on there. They do have, a lot of their old stuff they can put on there. Plus, they're talking about putting on a couple of pay-per-views a year live on this.
Or a Clash type thing.
That, which is fine. I think...
I think what they really need to do, though, and this is what I was saying earlier, is you may not move Raw over there, but moving SmackDown onto your network is probably not a bad idea for the simple fact of if you're just gonna do the same shit you're doing on WWE 24/7, why have your own network? Because you could produce all of these TV shows and air them on 24/7 right now. You don't need your own network for it.
The only reason for the network is getting rights fees. And that's the whole thing. That's where they're going to make their money. Going in each cable.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's money. It's another outlet for money. That's basically the whole...
Exactly. It's another place for an ancillary market. One show that I don't see listed here, and Spug can maybe answer if it's on the WWE 24/7, like a biography channel type thing, like an A&E biography or Yankeeography. So they do like an hour long on the legend, like an hour long thing on Bobo Brazil or Ernie Ladd or Vanessa Martino.
They don't have... There's only a few of them, but they... and Jim Ross hosted them all.
Right, that just seems like something Stryker, like Matt Stryker's alley. Let him.
Well, Matt Stryker did a bunch of them. Like Jim Ross did a couple of the early ones, and then Matt Stryker did them, but he didn't necessarily do them on characters. Like he did one on wrestling in the 80s. He did one on the AWA.
Was that the Legends of Wrestling Roundtable thing I saw on the DVDs that came out a while back?
He did world class. He did WCCW from Texas, right? And
yeah.
He picked three matches from WCCW. He had Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair the day Kerry Von Erich won the world title. He had Abdullah and Bruiser Brody in the cage.
Brody.
With Fritz as the referee.
Oh, nice! Oh god, that match is horrible to watch.
And then he did, I forget what the last one was, but he talked about the evolution of WCCW, the star power that was there. It was just like a simple kind of like biography about the promotion, and there were a few that they did about actual wrestlers.
Oh, nice.
It's a really good series, because I have the 24/7 on my computer. Like, I have the subscription through WWE.com. So.
Yeah, I asked Rock this off air that we talked about it on OWW, this whole pre-game type thing they were going to do for Raw. Rock, I guess, answered it that it's not going to be on this network. It's going to be on the WWE.com site. Is that how this is supposed to work in the near future?
Yeah. Something like that.
I think it's a horrible idea.
The WWE Center or Power Center or Road Center or some Event Center, some.
Get Sean Mooney back. He's not doing anything. He was great at it back in the day.
So yeah.
I still think it's a stupid idea.
What?
This whole network?
Why do you need a pregame show to Raw?
Because they do it for Monday Night Football.
I don't care if it's promotion for Raw.
No, it's because they do it, you know, for Monday Night Football. Vince sees that as like, ooh, I like that idea. Let's do it.
Yeah, could you see them doing like they used to back in the mid-90s with the guy from Home Shopping? Could you see them having an hour of WWE merchandise as a Home Shopping type thing on this network? Or I mean, I know we're talking like revenue, but what better way to do it? Have Rey Mysterio come on and talk about the masks or Sin Cara, or have the Divas come on and sell some jewelry or stuff like that.
Oh, it's limitless. You can, you know.
This network's going to be like, if you follow the regular mainstream media, how that Oprah Winfrey network went when you look at some of the trade papers, and this almost feels like it. It's a startup thing that, as I'm sure we know, there's going to be some major duds and there's going to be some major hits, and hopefully there's more hits than duds. Some of this list, if you can find it, fans, take a look at it. Some of the stuff on here, I would actually sit down and go, DVR set, cool. I want to watch this.
I think there's plenty of stuff, like, and I'm sure that that is not the entire list of their original programming that they're going to put on there.
This is what they want fans to, you know, vote right on what they want to, if they would be interested in seeing some of this programming.
Right. That's, I just,
did you do a weekend review type thing, or is that what that Live Center thing is?
They have all the possibilities of, you know, doing something. They do WWE 90 seconds on WWE.com. Yeah, you can sum up the week in WWE in 90 seconds.
Cool. Cena rules. Cena rules. Cena sucks. All right, see you next week.
Just put the back intro.
And woo, 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 you know.
Yeah. So that's the WWE Network ideas. We're going to take a break, come back, talk a little UFC for a minute, or a minute and 4 seconds. All right. And go through some news notes.
A minute and 4 seconds, brother.
And maybe go to a little bit of a great debate tonight.
Hooray!
We'll get back into that tonight. This is WTR Sunday Night. We'll be back right after this.
Scream so loud, getting fucking laid. You want me to stay, but I got to make my way. Y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretch yourself down my back to keep me right on. Hey, y'all crazy bitch, but you fuck so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretch yourself down my back to keep me right on. Take it all, the paper is your game. You jump in bed with fame. Another one not paid in full.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you O'Tuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rules, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to O'Tuttle Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
I see trouble coming there.
Appears to be sick around the network and everywhere. You find out people are sick, even including Vince McMahon. Apparently he has the flu lately and it's affecting his judgment on his product. You know, that full thing. He's apparently suffering from the flu-like symptoms and, you know, it's making him not as, you know, strong the next day after, you know, rewriting Raw 8 to 10 times a night. Anyway, welcome back to WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Sirach, and joined by Alan Wojcik and the Spud Guy as we cover the week in pro wrestling and everything else we can possibly think of, including last night's UFC Heavyweight Championship fight. Spud?
If my call suddenly drops, it's because the thunderstorms have rolled in, and I'm watching literally the power line outside my house sway back and forth by a good 5 feet.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. God.
As a UFC fan, I said that earlier tonight, a blind man could have seen me out of that fight coming. You have your heavyweight champion who hasn't fought in 13 months. I don't care if you're training or not. That's way different than getting into an octagon and getting your face pounded in. He hasn't fought. Junior Dos Santos has fought a few times in the past year and a half, or past year anyway. You're opening up your brand new television deal on one of the big three networks, big four networks, and it's prime time on a Saturday night. If I'm Dana White, I'm going to Fox with an actual full event. Because Fox doesn't show college football. There was nothing on previous to it. You could have started that event at 8. Special start time of 8 o'clock, gone from 8 to 11, televised probably that whole event, or at least most of the fights on it, including your main event, still kept fan interest and still drew a huge rating. Instead, you show one fight that is over in 1 minute and 4 seconds, and guess what? You've had all that buildup for nothing.
Okay. They did a pretty good rating.
I know they did.
Depending on where you go, it was either between 4.56 million to 5 million people. Depending on...
That's not bad.
Depending on which source you get. It depends on the overnight ratings and how they calculate it. Probably on tomorrow we'll get the actual legit rating for it.
The other thing I want to know is what was the rating for the Stanford game? Because you got to remember, you're going up against primetime college.
Yeah, you had that game and you had Notre Dame.
I can tell you that.
You had Notre Dame on NBC.
You had Notre Dame on NBC.
Yeah.
You had Stanford, Oregon on ABC, and you had Alabama on ESPN. And I do not know if there was there was a primetime game on CBS. I don't think there was.
No, there wasn't. I'll get to that in a second.
Not that I remember.
I just saw the release. 5.7 million people was the official number for the UFC fight.
which is a good rating. But my point, my personal opinion and point is that you've spent all that money to put this event on, which would have been a regular event for you anyway.
All right.
To televise one fight.
Before you get going, Spock, on that point, this was a one-time special for them. Their official deal kicks in 2012 when they're going to be doing two-hour shows.
Then
this was Fox trying to get a rating.
Would have gotten more if I'm an executive at Fox. I'm going to look over the ratings that UFC and the buy rates UFC is pulling on pay-per-view over the last year.
Mm-hmm. Which have been going down lately.
They have been, but if you look at if you look at the card on paper and then the actual product, the product on the pay-per-view hasn't been living up to the hype for the card.
Right.
But if I'm the executive at Fox and I'm trying to pull ratings and this is a special leading into our deal, then I want to keep it as close to our deal as possible and I want to run a full show because I may get them. That's more ad revenue.
But you couldn't because UFC's already planned out for the rest of the year. That was the issue.
But they've
still got a deal in place with Spike, don't they?
But you could have aired that. My point is you could have aired that show. They aired prelims on Facebook and FoxSports.net. You could have aired that show on Fox.
Or Fuel TV, I think, was the other. I think that's where Glazer, the guy from the Fox Sunday show, which I know a lot of people I got emails from were ticked that. You had said it when we were watching the live event last night. Where the heck were Goldberg and Rogan? And why is Kurt Menefee opening this and Dana White sitting here and Brock Lesnar sitting here? Why is this done differently? Because you're going to draw the non-UFC person like me. I watch it with you and Mace because it is an interesting thing. But this was done on this particular way, I think, to draw the casual UFC fan. Or that maybe sitting there going, okay, well, the Marquez Pacquiao thing doesn't start till then. Hey, man, let's watch this UFC thing before we watch the boxing, or this football game sucks. Let's click over here. How the hell did Fox really net Fox? I'm sure David Gorin and David Hill were sitting there looking at each other going, all right, cool, we're going to get 64 seconds of this stuff. I sincerely doubt it. And I know what you're saying, that Velasquez had been sitting on a shelf, injured with a rotator and whatnot. Expecting five round matches, and everybody was saying on Twitter, everybody was joking around. Our own Kevin Scott from WWE Radio said the same thing. That was pathetic. You know, it was fixed. It was this. It was like I was sitting at the clock looking, going,
fixed.
I know, but I mean, at 9:25, I'm sitting there going, this thing hasn't even taken to the ring yet. Octagon, sorry. At 9:25.
It wasn't fixed. That wasn't my that's not my deal. My hatred of the situation goes much deeper than what happened Saturday night. It's that you have a heavyweight champion who blew out his rotator cuff just a little over a month after his fight with Lesnar, training for his first title defense, and you didn't name an interim champion. If you wanted to make that a special event last night, you could have had the unification of your heavyweight and interim heavyweight titles. It's never before in UFC, when they started going to the format they're at now, when Dana White took over and they got it sanctioned, and it became a legitimate sport, did they not have a period where they didn't name an interim champion if the real champion was injured or unable to fight? They did it with the heavyweight championship for whatever reason, and you went a full year without that title being defended. It made no sense to me whatsoever.
This is where I'll be the numbers guy. Oregon at Stanford did 7.21 million people, basically.
Yeah.
In average. Notre Dame averaged about 2 million people.
Mm-hmm. And they play Maryland, so you're getting an East Coast audience there that's going to watch, and you get the Notre Dame fan base that's always going to watch because it's on NBC. But as you said, you've been saying that the UFC numbers, pay-per-view buy-wise, are going down. What is... I know from what I saw when I was getting my car worked on yesterday, the Pacquiao-Marquez fight was $64.95 if you watched it in HD and $54.95 regular. What's the UFC pay-per-view run these days?
Right around 40, I think. 44.
And you're getting, well, that's like five things for a couple hours, which isn't bad. It's 55, Rock? Wow.
For you, is that, what cable provider do you have, Rock? You have Cox, right?
Comcast.
You have Comcast? Because they're, I think the last one we bought was 44 through Time Warner.
And throw that in if you're a wrestling fan and you got paper, you, wow. No wonder there's all that illegal stuff going on you read about in the trades.
It's not even that, dude. The prices for pay-per-views have gotten insane. Insane. But I will say that for the money, the UFC product, on average, delivers the more for your money than the WWE or TNA pay-per-view does. Or boxing pay-per-views for that matter. Because you get five fights on that card, plus you also get the prelims usually.
And if you watch Pacquiao Marquez last night, that fight until the eighth round was just stands. 3 minutes is up, cool. The two fights before it were better than Pacquiao Marquez.
That's why I didn't even watch.
Yeah, screw you, Alan Wojcik. We're not watching boxing, and that was terrible. Anyway, that's our UFC discussion. Now it's time for the great debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Role Boulevard. You better get your ass serious because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to room 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the crowd just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what The Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
And we start off with the battle. Yeah, we'll start off with Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels taking on Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. And we'll start with Alan Wojcik.
I've been missing this thing, so I'm interested to do this. Because this started out like, what, 64 different feuds you said this was?
Yep, and we do this every 5 weeks.
Hogan Slaughter was... What feud's got its own damn DVD right now? That's the best way to describe it. I remember Hogan Slaughter more for the poor stuff that Sergeant Slaughter had to go through, being the heel character. And you see certain things. I think it was the History of WrestleMania DVD that he talked about all the horror that he had to go through with death threats and whatnot. And I could care less. That you knew when that match was booked. Hogan's going over, brother. Thanks a lot for coming. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels wins this simple and easy because we just passed the anniversary again. it's still that you mentioned the words Montreal Screwjob, who are around wrestling fans, and you're going to get like a JFK conspiracy theory, moon landing, Jesus exists, Jesus doesn't exist conversation. So Brett and Sean win.
Slug?
I'm going to vote for Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. One, because of all the things that they had to go through to get that feud to happen. And two, because without the Montreal Screwjob, Brett and Sean is just another cliff note. It really is. That's what made that feud. Plain and simple. Without that, that feud really is nothing. They had a great match at WrestleMania, and not much after that. Hogan and Slaughter defined, even though the Gulf conflict was over at the time, so much more than just that wrestling feud. And it really did kind of make mainstream news here and there. And so that feud means more, I think, personally, than Sean and Brett.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on one thing. It was not just a Montreal Screwjob. Everything that led up to Montreal Screwjob was pretty good stuff. And that's why I'm going with Sean and Brett. Because I'm not reiterating any points that's been previously made. That's just the point I'm adding to it. I'm going Sean.
Sunny days, man. Sunny days.
And I'm going Sean and Brett to move on. Next one. Warrior and versus Rude takes on Foley and The Undertaker. We'll stick with the same format, Alan.
This one's tough. I was a fan of Ravishing Rick back in the day and was very happy when he won the belt at WrestleMania 5. Unfortunately, like we had said, Spug had said before about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, Taker and Foley is always going to be remembered for the two bumps in their Hell in the Cell match. I know they had a pretty good Boiler Room Brawl, I think it was, at the SummerSlam, but Rude and Warrior were great because you also add in the mix of Bobby the Brain Heenan. Oh, and it went pretty well. Each one of them came out pretty good after their thing. So I'm going with Rude Warrior. I'm sure I'm wrong, but by that, you look at a lot of the characters that are around now, they all come with the arrogance and cockiness of Ravishing Rick. And that's an instant feud right there that just works.
Before we go to Spug, I'm going to throw it out as Undertaker Foley, and then I'll leave the hard decision up to Spug.
Undertaker Foley. Undertaker and Foley.
That's simple for you?
Well, look. Rude Warrior was a great feud. Mm-hmm. It was an absolutely fantastic feud, and Rude is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. But if you look at Undertaker and Foley from the first matches that they had that started at a May in Your House and led up to SummerSlam where Paul Bearer turned on Undertaker, and everything that was encompassed in that feud. Everything. We've seen matches where you've had Undertaker versus Mankind, and Kane interfered on Mankind's behalf. We've seen these. I mean, there's tons that is encompassed in this feud. And there's several great moments, not just the two bumps from Hell in a Cell. That's the only ones that WWE footage continues to show. But you had the first Buried Alive match in WWE history, where Undertaker lost and you saw his hand come up through the grave. You had trying to think, they had a last man standing that was insane. They've had, you know, Buried Alive on SmackDown. They've had so many matches that are just, that were just absolutely fantastic. And the feud was excellent. The promo work, the mind games, absolutely excellent. So for me, Undertaker Mankind.
There you go. So that move, Undertaker Mankind moves on. The next time we do this, it's going to be Tommy Dreamer versus Raven taking on Mick Foley against Triple H.
Let's just do that one right now.
No, we're not doing that one now.
But let's do it right now. Let's do the next set right now. We got to push through these. Let's do the next set right now.
Why you want to do more? You want to do more? Let's do more then. Let's do that one.
Let's do the next set right now.
All right, go for it.
What are they again?
Tommy Dreamer versus Raven taking on Mick Foley and Triple H. We'll start with you, Spug.
Tommy Dreamer versus Raven. That made both of those guys. That feud made both of those guys the stars that they are. From the night that Dreamer finally beat Raven when Raven left to go to WCW, to Dreamer getting his trademark pose when he, you know, stole Raven's, the promo work, that feud, I think, made Dreamer more than the Sandman feud.
Alan?
This one sucks for me because I'm not an ECW person, but being a historian that I am, I'm going to agree with Spug because, yep, Foley and Triple H and whatever incarnation you want to give Foley had a couple of really great matches, SummerSlam 97 in a cage, the Royal Rumble in Madison Square Garden, but after, and only I know this because of seeing the two ECW DVDs that are out there and recently watching Shane Douglas' stuff and talking with Shane about Dreamer, that after the Sandman feud that made Dreamer, the feud with Raven really made him legit with the ECW crowd because he wasn't coming out in the suspender gimmick that he was doing. And you had a great storyline here that, you know, especially with Beulah being mixed in, and so I gotta go. Yeah, these people probably looking at this going, but you never watched the product that much. Well, as I said, I'm a historian, and history tells me this was a great feud. That it's another one. You know, you look back. ECW's been gone 11 years now. This is still one of those feuds. If you sit with an ECW person and say to them, give me your top five ECW feuds, Tommy Dreamer Raven will be right up there as number one or two.
All right. There you go for that one. And I would agree, Tommy Dreamer Raven. Even though I'm a Triple H mark, Raven Tommy Dreamer is a lot better.
Mm-hmm. And what's the next one?
Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio taking on Jushin Thunder Liger versus Brian Pillman.
Oh, damn, man. You suck.
And we start with Alan Wojcik.
Oh, and I like both of these feuds. I'm going with Jushin Liger versus Brian Pillman just because I'm a fan of both of them so much. And I used a reference when I was talking about Mark Henry and Big Show, and I said, this match is not going to be Dynamite Kid versus Tiger Mask. This is not going to be Liger versus Pillman. There was stuff in that feud going back to 92, at least, was the first time I think it happened in the U.S., that the Hardys, Edge Christian, John Morrison, Evan Bourne, Paul London when he's not stoned, Ryan Kendrick when he's not stoned, every X Division guy on the TNA roster looks at that feud and goes, I can do that. And even when they did, I think it was the first match ever on WCW Monday Nitro.
Yeah, it was, I believe.
That's enough for me to go right there. Eddie and Ray was really great. It went from WCW to WWE, I'm sorry Eddie Guerrero passed away, but I'm going to go against Eddie Guerrero tonight. Sorry.
Spug?
Eddie and Ray spanned, you know, multiple companies. I didn't see much of Thunder Liger and Pillman, although I'm sure it was a great feud. I've got to go with Ray and Eddie.
I back that up, Ray and Eddie, because they were a reason for a couple of years to watch WCW Nitro and stuff like that.
And to watch SmackDown.
And to watch SmackDown, yeah. They mm-hmm. they were the reason, you know, to do it. So that's that. So much for, you know, setting up the final week. I don't know, I'll have to look at it. I have to, you know, catch up and update it. Well, next time we do it will be Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker taking on Greg Valentine against Tito Santana, and Chris Jericho versus Rey Mysterio taking on Tully Blanchard and Ronnie Garvin. That'll be the next time we do it.
Right on. Now we got quick hits.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wildfire. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
And we're going to start off with Tim Stein played by Alan Wojcik. What would your ultimate dream Survivor Series team be? All time.
You mean the ultimate match or the ultimate team of five?
The ultimate team of five.
You can use anyone, by the way.
Yeah, all time.
And I can use anyone from the... Anyone?
Anyone from past or present.
Yeah, anyone.
Oh, Jesus. Ooh. Bam Bam Bigelow, just because in the original Survivor Series match, just to see him facing off against who he did in that one night was just holy crap. Hogan in his prime, sure, why not? Throw him in there. Bruno Sammartino in his prime, just so him and Hogan could argue with each other on the apron of I'm a wrestler, I'm a sports entertainer. Magnum TA in his prime before the car accident. Damn, I wish that never had happened. I got four. And I need another face. I'll put Cena on there just so he can all do the... He can do the You Can't See Me to Bruno Sammartino and see what happens. And I want him against the Four Horsemen with J.J. Dillon.
Right here. Spug, who is the best international star in wrestling today?
International star?
International star.
If you're gonna talk international stars, I think you gotta go with either guys that are in like Chikara or Dragon Gate or ROH, and maybe even to a point, CM Punk. Him, there's only like three guys in WWE that I think you could pick as international stars. But I think for his exposure during the summer and people going back and looking at his old YouTube stuff, I would have to go with CM Punk at the moment.
Okay. Alan, playing the part of Tim for tonight. Following in the footsteps of Kelly Curley learning how to do a striptease from Vince McMahon, what is the one thing you wish you could learn from Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
Wait, back the car up for a second.
How he got his balls so big.
She learned to do a striptease from the genetic jackhammer?
Yep.
Yeah, remember she couldn't take her bra off.
And Vince taught her how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would I like to learn from Vince? Or repeat it for me? Because it kind of... I lost it there.
What is the one thing you wish you could learn from Vince McMahon?
I, I want to learn how he comes off claiming how much his father loved him when up until a certain point in Vince's life, he didn't even know who the hell Vince McMahon Sr. was. And sit there. I just want to know why he portrays the legacy that he portrays. Sorry, I went dark there. I apologize. If you want to go in the light, I want to know how scared shitless he was. Yes, I said shit. Awesome. Mark it, dude. 1 a.m. I said shit. I want to know how scared shitless he was when he looked at the landscape in 1984 and saw all these promoters that were friends with his dad pulling guns and stuff going, you're going against everything we stand for. And him going, you ain't seen nothing yet, brother.
Again, he's not Hogan. Quit with the fucking brother.
No, it had nothing to do with Hogan. It had nothing to do with Hogan.
Yeah,
damn,
but every time you reference Vince, it's brother, brother. Shh!
You want me to say sister?
No, I want to poke you in the fucking eye.
Give him his question.
Anyway, I think Alan said shit about 5 times. Anyway, just to keep track.
Awesome. Yes.
If you could wrestle in any time period, what time period would it be and why?
Late 70s, early 80s. Because at that time you had to really love the business to get into it. And if you weren't in shape, they were going to get you into shape by hook or by crook. There was money to be made, and it seems that at that time period, and even in the late 90s during the Attitude Era, there was still a lot of creativity as far as your own gimmick, getting yourself over, you know, making sure that you had the tools to do it. You didn't have the backing of billion-dollar corporations. You had to do the work on your own. So I would say
I want the 70s too, just so I could sit there and I want the 70s just so I could see Superstar Billy Graham versus Dusty Rhodes, Madison Square Garden in person. Because seeing it on DVD doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, mid to late 70s, early 80s. I would probably go more the late 70s, early 80s when everything was kicking off in the NWA as far as Mid-South and Flair and with WWF to a point. Because you could go back and forth and make a ton of money if you were any kind of draw.
Because that was when Vince McMahon Sr. got along with everybody.
Vince McMahon Sr. really wasn't in the picture in the early 80s. That was Vince Jr.
He left the company in 83. That's when he got really sick. And that's when Vince sold it to him.
And that was Quick Hits for this Sunday evening. A TNA Turning Point Sunday evening. This Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik on the show known as My Name is Wojcik or OWW Radio, whatever you want to call it. 9 p.m. Eastern, this Tuesday night. Who do you have?
Last week we had 2/3 of the Midwest Militia. This Tuesday we have all 3 of their opponents. The reigning WSU World Champion, Mercedes Martinez. The icon of WSU, Miss Alicia. They're both making returns. And for the first time, we've been chasing her for a few months. We finally have the former leader of the Cosmo Club, now a babyface, Brittany Savage, will be there. And you never know who's going to show up on our show. And you never know what the hell the name is going to be.
My name is Wojcik on Twitter. Anyway, I believe we might be doing OTL this Wednesday, Spug, I think. Maybe. Hopefully.
Maybe.
And if we do, I bet it's Omega talking about the convention he was at this weekend.
What convention?
He was at some sort of convention in Florida. I don't know the name of it, but he was talking about it on Twitter and stuff. So, we'll probably be...
Something with Khan at the end of it.
Yeah, something with Khan at the end of it. the reason he's not here, and we're doing this show without him. Saturday night, midnight is CB Radio. Here myself, Rob Parks, Subway. We talked the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Last night we talked about the world's largest bra. Hal, a person, you know, kills the nerves. Kills
the like a
it's bug.
Yes.
You're making noises.
The heck was that?
You're making deep noises.
Is it bleeding through? I'm trying to get to the options and I can't.
Yeah, it was bleeding through. Anyway, how a person,
what the hell, man?
Yeah, how a person kills a guy, kills a nurse, takes the ring, and then proposes to their girlfriend. And people, a mom goes berserk on a school bus, and a whole bunch more. CB Radio, midnight-ish, right here, every Saturday night. Next week, we'll be back talking WWE Survivor Series. 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yay!
I don't know who's going to host this show. Hopefully it's not me. I say this every week, but it always turns out to be me for at least an hour hosting the show. This show.
Well,
it seems to happen every week. I sort of jump in and host. Anyway, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network, Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, Twitter.com/MyNameIsWojcik. Killed_wiseman.
Not true.
You changed it now?
Spug_guy.
When did you change that?
About 2 hours ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good. Good.
Find him. He's there somewhere on Twitter. Follow him. I will see you next.
I'm switching over a lot of my email stuff from my Wild Talk Radio email to my actual personal email.
Okay. Anyway, that's the show for Al Wojcik, for the Spud Guy, I'm Sorokin, and for Tim Stein. Go to CanadianAllPro.com and buy tickets to Holiday Havoc. CanadianAllPro.com. We'll see you next week. This has been Wrestle Talk Radio.
Come.